We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, it's not as windy as yesterday, but it's still pretty breezy. 56 degrees currently. Northwest winds, 23 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 32. Dew point is 18 and humidity is 23. We are under a fire weather warning until 8 o'clock tonight. And now the fire watch has been extended till tomorrow evening. So we're under a fire weather watch until 9 p.m. Central Time tomorrow evening. And so be careful out there. We'll talk about the fires here later coming on in the next segment here. But it was a busy day for firemen yesterday and ranchers and farmers and more of that to come. When I get there, let me find my little deal there. There we go. Okay, let's circulate it. Okay, here we go. Live cattle is down slightly. April, 137.82. June's 133.80. August is 135.80. October is 143.22. Feeder cattle are steady. 156.77 for April, and May is 159.25. Lean hogs are down slightly. April, 98.75. May, 107.80. June, 114.40. And let's see what the oil's doing just for the fun of it. Oil is up just a little bit. It's still below $100, which is good. It needs to come on down just a little bit more. You know, I got lots of friends in the oil field, but we all know we can still make money in the oil field with the oil a little bit lower. But anyway, natural gas is crazy. May natural gas is $6.29 per million cubic feet. So it's getting on up there. And that's where natural gas should be anyway. Let's check out the cash grain prices in Oklahoma as of an hour ago. Hard red winter wheat, ups quite a bit, $10.29. Corn, up also, $7.81. I wouldn't be surprised if corn doesn't hit $8. I don't want to see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't hit $8. Milo's at $7.49. Soybeans are also up at $15.90 a bushel. So there we got it going on. Well, soybean futures were modestly higher while corn and wheat were slightly lower last night, but it's slightly up today. Trading as investors square positions ahead of some government reports due out today. The USDA will release its monthly world agriculture supply and demand estimates and crop production reports at noon. It's happening, probably already happened. They're probably on Eastern time, but it's going on right now, and I haven't got any updates yet. Corn stockpiles in the United States are expected to be pegged by the USDA at 1.415 billion bushels, down from March outlook of 1.44. Global stocks likely will be little changed at 300.9 million metric tons. Soybean inventories will be seen at 262 million bushels. That's down from the previous forecast at 285 million. Globally, about 88.8 million metric tons will be in storage, and that's down slightly from the previous outlook of 90 million tons. Wheat stocks will be projected at 656 million bushels, up slightly from the 653 million bushels that was expected in March WASD report. World ending stocks will likely come in around 281.4 million metric tons, and that's down from 281.5 million, not much. South American crop production also will be the focus, as the trade is expecting the USDA to project Brazil's soybean crop at 125.4 million tons. That's down from 127 last month. corn production in South America country likely will be pegged at 115.1 million metric tons, and that's up from the March outlook of 114 million tons. Soybean output in Argentina will be seen by the USDA at 42.8 million metric tons, and that's down from the 43.5 million last month. And corn production probably will be pegged at 52 million metric tons, and that's down from 53 million last month. Soybean futures for May delivery rose 2.25 cents to $16.47 3/4 cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal rose $1.50 to $461.70 a short ton, while soybean oil futures lost 0.19 cents to $72.83 a pound. And that's cents, 72.83 cents a pound. Corn futures fell 2.75 cents to $7.55 a bushel. Wheat for May delivery was unchanged at $10.20 a bushel, while Kansas City futures lost 1.25 cents to $10.69.5 a bushel. Grain sales to overseas buyers rose week to week, while soy meal and soybean sales declined, according to the USDA. Corn sales in the 7 days that ended on March 31st rose to 782,400 metric tons. That's up 23% from the previous week. The total was still down 44% from the prior four-week average. Mexico come in at the big buyer, 261,000 metric tons, followed by Japan, and second there at 216,000 tons, and South Korea at 192,000 tons. The government said Saudi bought 157,000 metric tons, and Spain bought 64,100 tons. Sales would have been higher, but here we go. Always got something going on. An unnamed country wanted to be secret, canceled cargoes of 199,800 metric tons. That's a lot. For the 22-23 marketing year, corn sales totaled 145,200 metric tons. Exports for the week fell 13% to 1.63 million metric tons. Wheat sales were also higher, rising 65% week to week to 156,300 metric tons. The total, however, was down 11% from the average. Indonesia bought 55,000 metric tons. Taiwan, 41,000 tons. Italy was in there for 20,000 tons. Mexico purchased 18,000 tons. And Thailand took one load of 15,100 tons, and Guatemala nixed its shipments of 15,000 tons, and the Philippines canceled orders of 9,700 tons. Sales for the 22-23 marketing year were reported at 223,000 metric tons. Exports for the week fell 11% to 309,800 metric tons. Soybean sales totaled 800,700 metric tons. But that's down 39% from the previous week and 38% from the average. China was the number one, 435,700 metric tons of U.S. supplies. Mexico come in last place under there on the soybeans at 29,600 tons. Red flag warnings remain in effect from North Texas to South Dakota, while freeze warnings have been issued in parts of several states, including Oklahoma and Kansas. And I've seen that on Channel 9 this morning, the northern part, according to the National Weather Service. I told you guys it's going to get cold. You better take care of them tomato plants. It's too early anyway. Anyway, it's southwestern Kansas and the Oklahoma and Texas panhandle and western Oklahoma. Red flag warnings have been issued. Winds of parts of southwestern Kansas are forecast to be 20 to 25 with gusts up to 35. Same for western Oklahoma here. The humidity will fall as low as 10% today and drop to 6% tomorrow. Man, we need to be careful out there. In southern South Dakota, winds will gust up to 30 miles an hour and humidity will fall as low as 15%. Freeze warnings have been issued for parts of northern Oklahoma and eastern Kansas starting at 1 a.m. and lasting through 8 a.m. in the morning. Temperatures in the region will fall, will range from 26 to 32 degrees overnight, putting winter wheat plants that have resumed growth after overwintering into danger. Frost and freeze conditions could kill crops, other sensitive vegetation, kind of like tomatoes, and possibly damage unprotected outdoor plumbing, faucets, and spigots. When I get back, I'm going to talk to you guys about what's going on with the fires. And then we got some other stuff. Got the cow-calf corner coming up with Mr. Paul Beck a little later on. And we got the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast even on later on in the show. So I'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before and your gears change and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, man. How about those fires yesterday? Let's check on. There we go. 56 degrees. Humidity is 22. Dew points 18. The winds are out of the north-northwest, 22 miles an hour, gusting up to 30. I'm tired of the northwest wind. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, we are under a fire weather warning till 8 o'clock tonight and a fire weather watch till 9 o'clock tomorrow. So anyway, some good news here. I don't know if you guys seen him out there at the in his display at the farm show at Elk City Chamber at the convention center, but Mr. Reese Newcomb, him and Leighton Freeze, they come in second place in their division with their portable arm bed welding skid. And I got to go out. Reese took me. I got the big dog look around it. They did a really nice job on that thing. And I actually have one that I bought 5 or 6 years ago or longer that I've got my welding stuff on. But these guys did a really nice job. You can pick it up with your Dewey's bed and the whole nine yards. Did really good. And they come in second, and they made the premium sale. And I've been wanting to talk about that since last Saturday when I get out there, and I just seen a post where his dad was up there at Oklahoma City, and I don't know how many schools are participating in it, but they're having the deal going on at the OKC West FFA speech and judging contest, and he posted a picture of Reese in there checking the bull out in the ring where they're having their judging contest on animals there. So anyway, big shout out to Reese Hightower. Good luck up there, and good luck to any other kids around our listening area that's in there. Well, let's – where's it at? Hang with me. Somewhere in here. I know it's in there. There she might be. Well, anyway, the U.S. drought monitor is out and came out yesterday. And it doesn't look any better than last week. Matter of fact, they've downgraded some of it, and I don't know how they do that. But in Oklahoma, basically the whole Texas or Oklahoma panhandle and most of the Texas panhandle are in a D4 exceptional drought stage. They've downgraded a little bit in Beckham County, the southern part of Beckham County, all of Greer, most of Jackson, and all of Harmon County is in a D4. And basically, the rest of anything west of I-35 in the city is in a D3 with some areas up around Ellis County and Woodward around in that area, Woods County. They're in a D2. It don't matter. We're in a drought. We need some rain. And Texas over there, Hemp Hill County, Collinsworth, what else is over there? Lipscomb, all you guys, you're in a D2 to D4. Most of you's in a D4. So anyway, we need some rain. I think it's a little, maybe just slightly a little late. Who knows? We'll get the rain. Hopefully we get a rain. And it'll be slightly help the weed out. But, man, that wheat crop and that rye crop's not looking too great right now. It's already got the flag leave on and the works. But there was lots of fires in the Oklahoma and Texas, and here's the most recent update from the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, and looks like the 23 fire, which is there by Fort Supply and Forgan, is 20,000 acres, and that was a fast fire. I mean, that happened in a short period of time. They evacuated Fort Supply, the town of Fort Supply, and come find out, here is the official report. Let me read it to you, what caused it. And this is a press release from the Meade County Sheriff's Department. On April 7th, 2022, multiple fire units were dispatched to southern Meade County in response to reports of multiple fires along K-23 Highway. A witness reported seeing a vehicle seen on the shoulder on the northbound lane, and in their rearview mirror, the witness saw the vehicle merge back onto the highway slowly. The witness noticed shortly after the vehicle entered the roadway, smoke developed approximately right in the area of the shoulder where that vehicle was parked. This witness said, turned around to investigate and saw the fire was rapidly growing. Believing this to be suspicious, the witness followed the vehicle and reported it to the Meade County Sheriff's Office. Had eyes on, that's what we got to be looking out for. But anyway, the suspicious vehicle was stopped by law enforcement and the driver was arrested for a traffic offense unrelated to the fires. After a thorough investigation of the driver and the vehicle, it was determined that the suspicious vehicle was experiencing mechanical failures causing the engine to stop running and the driver would coast onto the shoulder. When this would happen, the driver would wait a few minutes and start the vehicle to continue their travels. The driver was very cooperative and allowed investigators to start and inspect the vehicle. Investigators discovered the vehicle had mechanical failures resulting in engine backfires through the exhaust. During this inspection, flames were visibly seen coming out of the exhaust. So that's what caused that fire. And some people up in that area, they didn't have, that fire was so fast, they didn't have time to get their cattle out of there. There was a really sad picture on social media earlier this morning of a cow still eating the afterbirth of a baby calf that was born during that fire. They had to put the baby calf down because it was just a bad deal. A lot of cattle was lost in that one yesterday. So prayers go out to all the farmers and ranchers affected that with their loss of cattle, their grass, and whatever else they might have lost in that fire. And it's, I think it's pretty much contained, but according to the fire activity from the forest ranger, it's 0% contained, but I'm pretty sure it's down Kane. The Brett Fire, Brett Ranch. If everybody traveled and worked out west of Sweetwater, everybody knows where the Brett Ranch is. And it started, it's 50% contained, 8,152 acres, and that thing was hot and fast, and it got across the state line. I'm not sure how far down the state line towards Texoma it got, but fire departments from Elk City, Canute, everywhere from around here helped and assisted in that one. And again, I've said it all week. I said it all last week. I can't tell you guys how much we appreciate you volunteer firefighters and full-timers. I know we got some full-timers here in Elk City, but thank you so much for what you do. The Beaver River Fire ended up being 24,537 acres of right now. They're saying it's 50% contained. The Forest Department's always cautious in what they put out. Some of these fires are probably out, but the Beaver County one fired back up yesterday with that high wind. And then we had one south of Sayre on the way to Willow, right there just south of the county line there on 283 as you're going towards Willow. They got that one. Thank you, Carter Fire Department. Thank you, Delhi Fire Department. And the reason why I say Carter, because I seen Drake Vault heading that way to that fire. And then I got a call that it's not very far from my place, but my place wasn't in danger because the way the wind was blowing, it was going southeast and I was southwest of the fire. But they got that one knocked down. Man, oh man, it's just, it's crazy. And if we come up with some stuff from Beaver or from the Brett Ranch, or the Brett Fire, people needing stuff, I promise you, I'll let you guys know Monday, or I'll post it on our Facebook page. Speaking of Facebook, I'm in Facebook jail again from something I posted 3 weeks ago. I guess it takes them that long to just, anyway, I'm in Facebook jail, so if you expect me to respond, you better message me or text me, because I'm not going to respond. It was a deal I put on there about gasoline's $4 and something cents a gallon, full tank costs you this, and you can drive off from the pump and only have to pay an $80 court cost. You save money doing that. It was a joke. I mean, it was seriously a joke. And Facebook sheriff determined that I was promoting theft. So anyway, I'm done. Facebook, I'll be back on sometime this weekend, maybe. But anyway, again, thank you so much. We got some more stuff that we're taking up here in the next couple of days to the Durham ranchers and farmers up there. We got some more cake. We got a little bit more hay. Sorry, we've been trying to get more hay for you guys up there, and there's just not a lot of hay around. We're still in a drought. It's the end of the winter. Stocks are low, but we'll find you some if we can find some this weekend. And we got one load ready to come up there Monday, and it's a couple more pallets of cake. Anybody still wants to donate, you're more than welcome to call any of your local area feed stores and tell them it's for the Durham Fire, and let them know that you heard it on Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and we will make sure it gets delivered up there. And still, I'm gonna thank you twice. I'm going to thank you three times for all the people, farmers, ranchers, normal people that have donated money to all these good causes that we're doing. And we love you guys that are in this fire, and we feel for you, and we'll help you as much as we can. Anyway, I will be right back after this. I got some stuff from Dr. Beck at the OSU Stillwater, or at Stillwater from OSU, and I'll be Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April 1st. 1,138 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 355 brought 221. 9 at 441 brought 206. 5 at 595 brought 174. 7 at 666 brought 157. 5 at 680 brought 151.50. 3 head of heifers at 287 brought 203. 10 at 494 brought 174. 15 at 549 brought 168. 25, 5 at 702 brought 141. 3 at 928 brought 126. Butcher cows were 30 to 103. Butcher bulls brought 76 to 125. Bred cows were 785 to 1550. Pairs brought 825 to 1875. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I got an announcement for you ladies out there in the agriculture. The Oklahoma Women in Agriculture Conference will take place at the Champion Convention Center in Oklahoma City on August 4th and 5th. So write that date down, August 4th and 5th. This event is aimed at helping women who own operations overcome obstacles during through increasing their knowledge and resources along with connecting them with the others in the industry. You can check it out, Oklahoma Women in Agriculture Conference coming up in August. Just wanted to pass that along, and I'll remind you here in a few weeks because really August isn't that far away. Well, the Elk City Livestock Auction is happening right now, and it looked like they had a really good turnout for today. And I'm sitting here reading that while ago. If I can get my phone to come up. Where'd he go? Yeah. As of this morning, they had 560 on the yard, and it was last night, and they was expecting 850 to a little over 1,000 there, 1,050. A couple hundred of them was winged calves and yearlings, most 5 to 7 weights. They had some 500 calves unworked, mostly 4 to 7. They had lots of cows, up to 375 they were expecting it, and then I was expecting 175 young bred cows and some 15 to 20 pairs, with several of those being 3 to 5 year olds. And then they had some 1 to 4 year old guaranteed bulls, Red Angus, Black Simmental, and Black Angus. I know some of those have already sold, and then we're going to have around 150 butcher cows, so they're getting after it. And then one of our listeners just texted in. He's got an announcement. He wanted me to tell me the wind was still blowing. I appreciate that update because I'm kind of in here in the studio, and I know it's blowing out there. But anyway, it's still blowing. Thank you very much for your update, sir. Woodward Livestock Auction yesterday had their feeder cattle sale. And here's some of the results from it. On the steers, 363 average weight on steers there brought anywhere from $2 to $227 per hundredweight. 220.70 was the average. Then we get into some 426 weights. They were averaging anywhere from 205 to 219, with the average being 208.08. And then we get up to some 500, looking pretty good still. Here, 80 heads, so average 529, 190 to 207 with a 201.15 average price. Then we had 250 head of the 566 weights sold, 189.25 per 100 weight. Let's get to some 600 pounders here. Woo, that must have been a nice head. 327 head, average weight 624. Brought anywhere from 169 to 191 per hundredweight. 179.36 was their average weight. Some 700, and says, go with these 710 pounders. 169.50, 837 weights, 157. 906 weights, 149.60. 1,035 weights, 136. And some 1,224 pounders brought $1.24. On some heifers, let's see what we got on the girls. We had some 370 weights brought up to 204. 195.79 was their average on the three weights. And then we had some 437s, 191 to 213. Some 534 weights, 161 to 180.50. Six weights, 622, 142 to 159. 729 weights up to 147, 833 weights on heifers, 138.50, and some 900-pound heifers was bringing $1.31.50 a pound. And I think that's about it. I don't think they sold any cows yesterday. Nope, they didn't. So anyway, that was from the sale at Woodward yesterday. Hollis will be having theirs down at Hollis down in Harmon County tomorrow. And the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be having theirs Monday morning. So if you got anything going over there, you need some help, or you need to buy something, be sure and call Brandon Hickey to just let him know what's going on. Got a question for him. Yesterday afternoon, after I went and helped my landlord and Donnie load up a bull and some calves, that was going, or the calves were going to the sale barn. The bull was going back to Donnie. He was so kind to loan it to my landlord. And I don't know if the wind blew the bull in the trailer or if he was just scared of us, but it didn't take him long to load in that trailer. And he's back home out of Grimes, Oklahoma. Then I went down there. I was on my way. I got my Sun Rotor, fixed my pump and everything. I was going back down there, and that wind, man, you know that wind just takes it out of you, and you don't even want to be out there. So I thought it was safer just to haul a couple loads of water yesterday versus messing with rewiring the pump and doing this and doing that. So I'm going to go try to get that done this afternoon and get my ladies down there back on well water instead of hauled water. But after that, I come back. And I come up here, Heath and Otis Frazier at Otis Crane invited me to crawfish cookout. Man, it was good. It was really good. And I walk in there, and Bo Deal and Alan Potter are sitting there at the table. Bo was licking his chops. He was already done. And Alan Potter's never done. I've never seen anybody eat as many crawfish as that guy. I've seen it over at Kephart's when we had a crawfish cookout over there. We just finally made him his own table, and I'd dump a whole pot of crawfish on the plywood just for him. Just like, here, stay out of everybody else's way. You stay over here. But yesterday they had his own trash can by him and everything. But it was a great cookout. I appreciate it. The shrimp was great. We had tamales, corn, taters, tea, the whole nine yards. Anyway, thanks again, Heath and Otis, for inviting me to your crawfish cookout. And I got to see some people I hadn't seen in a while. I've seen Bo at a distance, but I hadn't seen him close up in quite a while. But anyway, he was there enjoying it. So it was all good, and appreciate the crawfish again. Well, when I get back, we'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and I'll finish it up with Paul Beck's Cow-Calf Corner Be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, April the 5th, we sold 600 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, April the 7th, we sold 3,661 calves and feeders for a total of 4,261 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 82.5 to 92.50. Thin cows bring 48 to 82.5. Bulls bring 84.50 to 116. 2-day-year-old bred cows, 10.50 to 11.25, with their 2-day-year-old pairs, 12.85 to 1,600. Hunter steer cattle, 350 to 4-weight steers, $2 to 227, 4 to 450, 205 to 219, 5 to 550, 190 to 207, 6 to 650, 169 to 191, 7 to 750, 154 and a half to 169.50, 8 to 850, 147.50 to 157, 9 to 950, 147 and a half to 149.60, 1,050 pound steers, 135 to 136, and 20 steers weighing 1224 bring 124. Hunter heifers, 350 weight heifers, 185 to 206, 4 to 450, 191 to 213, 5 to 550, 161 to 180.50, 6 to 650, 142 to 159, 7 to 750, 140 to 147, 8 to 850, 135 to 138.5, and our 9 to 950 heifers, 131 to 131.50. Very good market, selling 500-pound heifers up to 180.50, selling 4 to 450 steers up to 219, selling some 900-pound steers up to 149.60, and we sell two loads of black steers weighing 886, bring 148.50. This Tuesday, April the 12th at 1 p.m., we will have a special cow and bull sale. Got a free lunch. We have 40 nice black pairs, 2 years old. Also have some 5 and 6 year old pairs. Also two Charlotte Red Angus cross bulls, plus some other breeding bulls and other bred cows. Give us a call. Be sure and stop by our vet store. And also had lots of compliments on the Rockin' Nine restaurant there at the Sale Barn. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
One of the listeners texted in with a video, and I couldn't view it on my text line. Anyway, she's going, I know, I'm holding. Trying to hold off from planting that garden. You can go ahead and plant your onions if you want to, but not the tomato plants. Just be calm. Your potatoes and your onions already ought to be in. But anyway, that's good for that. And then also my wife texted in. She said, I look very, very nice in my vest. And I'm sure she would say that since she bought all of my clothes for me. But anyway, thank you very much, honey. I take after you. 57 degrees currently right now. Dew points 18, humidity's 21, northwest winds 24 miles an hour, gusting up to 32. I'm not so sure I'm going to put that water pump in today. Fire weather warning until 8 o'clock tonight. Fire weather watch has been extended from tonight till tomorrow night at 9 p.m. here in western Oklahoma in the Texas Panhandle. Today, breezy, 64 for a high. Northwest winds, 22 to 23 mile an hour, gusting up to 35 and 40 miles an hour. Tonight, clear, cool 36. Finally, somewhere around midnight, we're going to have a wind switch, and I'm ready for it. Tomorrow, breezy, but it'll be out of the south tomorrow. 86 degrees, it'll warm up nicely. Tomorrow night, 59, so that hard south wind's going to keep blowing tomorrow night if it's not going to get no cooler than that. Sunday, 89 degrees. Sunday night, 52. Monday, 84. Tuesday, 91. So it looks like we're going to go from this crazy north wind to hot weather in a hurry in the next few days. So anyway, get ready for it. All right, let's see what we got going on. Mr. Paul Beck, feed is a major cost input for all segments of the beef production chain. Feed efficiency is always a primary determinant of profitability. But when feed costs are high, it becomes even more important. We are most familiar with feed efficiency being expressed as the amount of feed required per pound of gain or the ratio of feed gain. There is considerable it varies considerably in feed intake by individuals above and below that is expected for the animal's size and growth rate. Researchers have been using the concept of residual feed intake to explore animal feed utilization and efficiency of feed use. Residue feed intake, or RFI, is in a measure of feed efficiency defined as the difference between an animal's actual feed intake, either above or below, and the expected feed intake based on the growth rate of the animal. An animal with a positive RFI will consume more feed than expected for a given level of growth, and therefore is less efficient. While an animal with a negative RFI will consume less feed than expected for a given level of growth and be more efficient. Many breed associations have feed efficiency EPDs based on RFI to help select for more feed efficient cattle. They do, and it works. Difference RFI has been tied to differences in nutrient digestibility, production of volatile fatty acids, and methane in the rumen, feeding behavior, and differences in the microbial population in the digestive tract. Research from Texas showed that steers and heifers with low RFI had 19% lower feed consumption with the same average daily gain. The feed, along with the protein and fiber, was increased by 4%, and the ruminal methane production was reduced by 14% in low RFI or more efficient cattle. Feeding behavior was also tied to RFI. In another study from Texas, low RFI steers had fewer and shorter bunk visits and meal events. But the key finding was the low RFI steers had less day-to-day variation in feed intake. More efficient steers, those with low RFI, have lower fasting heat production and thus lower maintenance energy requirements than less efficient steers, though those with the high RFI. Thus, less of the feed consumed is used for maintenance. Stress and disposition have also been tied to performance of breeding and growing animals. There's a hormone out there associated with the fight or the flight response. Higher levels of that hormone has been measured in cat animals with poor disposition. That means the wilder cattle. Research conducted in Nebraska by Andrew Foote, now in the OSU Department of Animal and Food Sciences, found that while the levels of hormones were not associated with the feed intake, cattle with a higher level of hormones had lower average daily gain, higher feed gain, and higher RFI, and were less efficient. These findings point to the mechanisms for improved efficiency of low RFI calves and can provide selection tools to help beef producers reduce cost and feed resource use. There you go. Got that. Anyway, yeah, I was out there this morning checking on the girls out there, the heifers, and they've been looking really good. We haven't got any rain. That grass is wanting to grow. It's greening up slightly. It's so much wanting to grow, but it ain't going to do it without a little bit of water intake. And so I've decided that we're 45 days away from breeding these girls, where I'm going to step up and start giving each one of those first calf heifer mamas 3 pounds of feed of 28%. Going to give them a little bit of that, and I'm going to put out a bunker or a feed trough for the trailer for the calves, so they can start getting used to some type of maxi gain or creep feed of some sort. But anyway, I'm going to do that because they look good and got nothing to do with lice or anything else. They look good, but I can tell they're starting to go backwards a little bit. With the calves being on there and just eating hay, and the grass is slightly greener, it's just going to be one of those deals that I'm going to have to step it up there and give them a little intro to some cake starting Monday next week every day. So it'll all be good, and hopefully they'll be back in really good shape. They're in pretty good shape now, but like I said, you all know your own cattle. You can see if they're going backwards, and these girls look like they're just slightly starting to go backwards. So I'm going to step that up and go with that on that one. So, well, there's all kinds of things going on in our agricultural world. And one of the things is, if we get some rain, anyone who has ever eaten too many prunes can attest that overconsumption can sometimes have a negative impact on one's digestive tract. And that's kind of what I quoted to Alan Potter last night after he did his fifth tray of crawfish. So anyway, just as with humans, what cattle eat can also trigger a reaction in their digestive system, according to the experts at the Kansas State University Beef Cattle Institute. Talking on a recent Cattle Chat podcast, veterinarians Bob Larson, Brad White, and Brian Lubers, and nutritionist Philip Lancaster said the transition of cattle from eating winter hay to grazing lush green pastures that we don't have right now, but we're going to get a rain, we're one day closer, can cause cattle to experience a change in their stools. Cattle are now grazing grass that's 80 to 90% moisture. That's not true here, but 15 to 20% protein and low in fiber. These three things combine to lead faster passage rate through the digestive tract, making the manure loose. While the type of stool appears to be diarrhea, the veterinarian says it does not present a health concern. Only time it does, when it becomes a concern, is when you walk in the house after walking through some of it. Then your wife becomes a concern. This is not a disease condition, rather it's just the result of all the water passing through the tract quickly. When given the option of green grass or hay to eat, the veterinarians agree that green grass will be what the cattle prefer to consume. If we ever get a shower out here, that winter grass will continue going, and those cows will turn their nose up even at a bale of alfalfa. So one option to help manage the loose stools involves a change in the way cattle are managed, according to Larson. A more labor-intensive strategy is to pull the cattle off the grass at night and lock them in a pen where hay is the only option, and may force them to change the composition of their diet. One health condition that can affect cattle when they first go out on the pasture in the fallowing weeks, fallowing calving, is the grass tendinitis, or however you say that. If cattle consume a grass that is low in magnesium and high in potassium, it can lead to a nervous system problem. He added that the cattle experiencing that may act aggressively and have muscle twitches. Cattle may not be able to get up, and if the condition progresses without treatment, the cattle will die. Larson and Lubers both stressed that if any of these symptoms appear, producers need to get a veterinarian involved very soon, very quickly. Treatment is a fluid that can restore the minerals, Larson said. With IV treatment, the cattle tend to respond quickly and are acting normal again within 15 to 20 minutes, but should continue to be monitored to make sure the disease does not reoccur. There are a few management strategies to follow to reduce the grass tenacity. One strategy is to feed a high magnesium mineral supplement a few weeks prior to pasture turnout. I started feeding that stuff about 6 weeks ago, praying for rain. We've got a little shower, but we haven't got any rain, so I got lots of that out there. Lancaster said the type of grass they are grazing will present varying levels of risk. The risk for this condition is not as high as on native and warm season grasses of the Flint Hills as compared to the cool season grasses that have been fertilized. He also said, adding that the nitrogen in the fertilizer will lead to an increase in potassium in the grass. Where it makes sense, Lancaster said, producers can plant some legumes in the cool season grass pastures to offer a better mineral balance for grazing cattle. And there you have it, all the way from K-State. Makes sense. There's a lot of that going on. We just got to get some rain. That's all we got to get to do. One more thing before we end the show for the weekend. Come by and see me tomorrow. Jared Athan and I will be at Doug Gray Dodge tomorrow. We'll be out there at the Chrysler dealership. It's his 30th anniversary. So stop by and congratulate Doug Gray on 30 big long years going on. As you guys know, I've been talking a little bit about the bird flu going around. Guess what? Eggs are going up. Americans will not run out of eggs because of the ongoing outbreak of bird flu. It's the worst since 2015, according to Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. Some 4% of the U.S. layer flock has died in the last 2 months since the first confirmation of the highly bad bird flu on February 8th. So it's been 2 months today. Egg-laying hens account for 2 of every 3 birds that have died with that flu. Anyway, so the egg prices have surged 52% during the outbreaks. Often they have. Egg demand traditionally rises ahead of Easter, which is April 17th. So anyway, Iowa, who's the number one egg state, accounted for 12.7 million of the 16.8 million layers that have died in this year's outbreak. That's 2/3 of the layers in Iowa. Some 3.15 million turkeys have died. 1.28 million of those in South Dakota and 1 million of those in Minnesota. So everybody just keep a lookout for birds, especially wild birds, acting stupid out there. And don't be bashful at calling the Oklahoma Agriculture Department. If doubt, call the game warden. Lieutenant James ain't doing nothing. He'll come out and tell you you need to call the Agriculture Department. But anyway, keep an eye out for there. Say prayers for our volunteer firemen, all our firemen, and law guys. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.